want you to follow with me. Let's read 10 verses, beginning in verse 1. It says that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus for who he was, and he could not see him for the press, the crowd, because he was of little stature. So he ran, verse 4, before him, he climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at your house. And so he made haste, and he came down, he received him joyfully. I love that. And when they saw it, they murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said thus unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of all my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man, by false accusations I restore to him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. And notice this is the key verse, verse 10. For the Son of Man, that's a messianic title for Jesus, taken from Daniel chapter 7. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The man that was called the Prince of Preachers, his name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He's gone many years ago to be with the Lord. But he was a pastor in London, England. He's one of the great preachers of church history. He had what's called the pastor's school or pastor's college. And he would get the men in together and he was teaching them their preaching. And one time he called a young preacher to a trainee to preach extemporaneously, just on the spot. And he would actually give to the preacher the text that he was to use. Now, can you imagine having Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, call on you unexpectedly, give you the text and expect you to stand up and to preach that text? Well, that text that he gave that young man that day was the text that we just read, Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. And with fear and trepidation, the young man had 3 points to his sermon after he read the text. He said, Zacchaeus was of little stature, so am I. Zacchaeus was up a tree, so am I. Zacchaeus came down, so will I. And he ran off the stage. I've been tempted sometimes to use that same sermon outline and preach this text myself. We love the story of Zacchaeus, the wee little man who climbed up the sycamore tree to see what he could see. But the Bible tells us that he had a purpose in doing that. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was. But the theme of the story is, in verse 10, that the Son of Man comes to seek and to save that which is lost. So the story kind of unfolds like Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus, but the truth is behind the story is Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. And if you're a Christian tonight, you might think that I was seeking the Lord, but then you discover that it was Him seeking you and drawing you by His grace and by His mercy. So Jesus' mission was, verse 10, look at it with me, He came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's really what Christmas is all about. Why did Jesus come into the world? He came from heaven to earth, took on humanity so he could save us who were lost, all of humanity, so he could redeem man back to God. Now, this story, real quickly, has 4 movements. I want you to notice them in your Bible. The first is verses 1 to 4, where we find Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus. Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus. Go back to verse 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. So Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Jericho was down in the Jordan Valley. He'd come from the area of Galilee down the Jordan Valley. And you go through Jericho and then up the steep road to Jerusalem. And he was going there to be crucified for the sins of the world. But it says in verse 2, Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. His name means he was righteous, but we know that he was anything but righteous, for he was a publican or a tax collector. Now, I want you to notice verse 12. He was chief among the publicans, or verse 2, excuse me. He was a tax collector. The word publican means tax collector. Now, it hasn't really changed much in our day, but in those days, they really did not like tax collectors. because they were actually Jews who had begun to work for Rome, and they would extract taxes from the people of Israel, their own people, and they would actually have an extra amount that they would get. They would put in their own pockets. That's how they were paid. And then they would give what Rome required to Rome. So nobody wanted to be around a tax collector. And in the Bible, tax collectors were actually just synonymous with sinners. Sinners, publicans, tax collectors, they're all in the same category. Not sure we could do that today, but it's pretty doggone close, right? Notice that he was also said it was that he was rich. So he was chief among publicans. In other words, he was over other tax collectors. He was the publican of publicans. This is not Republican, this is just publican. And he had other tax collectors working for him, but he was also rich. Verse 2, that's significant. You know that there's no one too sinful to be saved. Zacchaeus was a sinner, but he's not too sinful to be saved. And there's secondly, no one too rich to be saved. Now, if you know the story of Zacchaeus, you know that he would actually be voted one of the least likely to ever believe and follow Jesus Christ. Isn't God's love, isn't God's grace amazing? Those who would be the least, most unlikely to follow Christ, to come to know Christ, to be a disciple of Christ, are those very ones who God sets His grace upon, His love upon, and He reaches out and saves them. It's interesting, back in chapter 18, if you peek at it with me real quickly, in verse 25 to 27, Jesus had just encountered the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler was told, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me and you'll have treasures in heaven. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great riches. And Jesus was watching this. He said, it's easier for a camel, verse 25 of Luke 18, to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men, and I love this, are possible with God. That's Zacchaeus' testimony. It's so hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven because they tend to put their trust in riches or a self-righteous man. But God, what seems to be impossible with men is possible with God. God can save anyone. No one is outside of the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. And there's going to be a lot of surprises when we get to heaven. People are going to be blown away by who you see and who's up there. And people are going to see you and their mouth's going to drop open. Like, what are you doing here? And you're going to say, the grace of God, amen? God sought me and bought me by His love and by His grace. So that's the story of Zacchaeus, and that's our story. He sought to see, verse 3, who Jesus was. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, why did he want to know who Jesus was? It doesn't say in the Bible. When we get to heaven, we can ask Zacchaeus, what caused you to climb that tree and want to know who Jesus was? Well, curiosity, perhaps. Perhaps he'd seen the change in the life of his fellow tax collector, whose name was Levi, also known as Matthew, who left his tax booth and followed Jesus Christ, and who was one of Jesus' number one disciples. Or perhaps it was an emptiness in his own life. His possessions, his pleasures could not satisfy. You know, sometimes people are drawn to Jesus because they see the change and the transformation that happens in another person's life. Sometimes they just have all that this world can give, but they realize there's emptiness and vanity. It doesn't satisfy and it doesn't fulfill. Perhaps he was just in need of real love. No one really loved Zacchaeus. He was living perhaps all alone and he was looking for love in all the wrong places. And he wanted to know, is there a God in heaven that really loves me? Many people will come to Christ because they're looking for true love and they find it all only in Jesus Christ. Or perhaps he was just tired and weary of life and coming to God out of weariness. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Rest for your souls. You know, you can go to a drugstore, you can buy sleep, but you can't find rest for your souls. So So maybe he was just weary. All of his wealth, all of his possessions could not satisfy. And he thought, maybe perhaps Jesus, I've heard, is the sinner's friend. I've heard that he actually reaches out in love to publicans and tax collectors. So do you want to know who Jesus is? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus is God, and he came from heaven. The Bible says there's one God and three persons. We call it the Trinity, the triunity of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God the Son, the second person of the Godhead. And so God the Son left heaven, came to earth, and he was conceived by the work of the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin whose name was Mary. That's what's called the incarnation, God becoming man. So how he was still God, but he was man too, fully God, fully man. And then he lived for 33 years a sinless life, spoke like never a man spoke, healed the sick, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, calmed the seas. And then finally he went to the cross, and he died on the cross, and he gave his life for the sins of the world. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will never what? But have everlasting life. So when Zacchaeus was saying, I want to know who Jesus is, that's who Jesus is. In John's gospel, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he said, the Word became flesh, that's that incarnation, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he said, no man has ever seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son of God, who's in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him or made him known. So Jesus came to redeem us back to God. Jesus came to reveal God to us in the incarnation. And Jesus came to reign one day upon the throne of David as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he ran and he climbed a tree. Now those are two things in verse 4 that no adult would ever do or cultured individual would ever do. It was considered uncouth and uncultured for a man of his stature and position to physically run, and then let alone climb a tree. I was thinking about tree climbing today. I didn't attempt it, but I thought, man, I can't climb trees anymore. That would be deadly. I can't run anymore. So he still was able to run. He got ahead of the crowd, and he climbs up this tree. It's called a sycamore tree. And he climbed this big, gnarly tree there in order to see over the heads of the crowd that were there gathered around to see Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that when we come to Christ, we must come out of humility, we must come in sincerity, and we must come in faith. We see this man who is so proud, so rich, so mighty, so powerful, and he humbly came and he climbed up this tree in order to see Jesus. Jeremiah 29, verse 13, it says, you shall seek me and you shall find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. So Zacchaeus is seeking, find Jesus. But the next movement, verse 5 and 6, is actually Jesus seeking Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus is running up the tree, climbing the tree, wanting to know who Jesus is. He's curious. But all the time, Jesus, I believe, in his divine sovereignty, has orchestrated this moment because he's the one who's seeking Zacchaeus. Look at verse 5 and 6. Now, when Jesus came to the place, that is the place where he was up the tree, he looked up and he saw him. I love that. And he said to him, he knew his name. He never met him before. He knew his name, Zacchaeus. Make haste, hurry, come down. Why? Because today I must abide at your house. And so he made haste. He hurriedly came down. And I love verse 6, received him joyfully. So Zacchaeus is hanging out up this tree. And again, I said, for a man of his stature and wealth and position, this would be a very humbling thing for him to run, to climb a tree. So he was up pretty much hoping that the crowd would just go by. He would just get a look at Jesus and he would go unnoticed. But Jesus, who's the center of the attention, stops right under the tree. Now you can imagine Zacchaeus is freaking out a little bit. Oh no, I wonder how long he's going to hang out down there. And not only does he stop, But he looks up at Zacchaeus. Talk about being busted. Zacchaeus, you're so busted right now. And then he calls his name. He sees him, and he calls his name Zacchaeus. And he tells him, hurry, come down, for I'm going to go to your house today. Someone says, I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew. He moved my hearts to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior, true, though I was found of thee. I love that. You think that I'm seeking the Lord, but all the time he is actually drawing us. Jesus said again, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So Jesus saw him. I love that. You know that God sees us. The Bible says all things are naked and open before the eyes of him of whom we have to do. Nothing is hidden from him. He knows you. He called his name. He knows your name. And then he calls us today. He said, I must abide at your house. In several places in the story, he mentions today. Today I need to abide at your house. Salvation in the Bible is always put in the present tense. Today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your hearts. Today, if you hear God's voice, open your heart and receive him as your Lord and Savior. But Jesus was seeking him. This is the theme of all the scripture. Jesus told the parables of the prodigal son. He told the parable of the lost sheep. He told the parable of the lost coin. All things that were lost and they were found, and the result was joy. So he's a father who runs to the son. He's the shepherd who goes after the sheep. He's the woman that sweeps the house diligently to find that lost coin and then rejoices that that which is lost has been found. But notice it says that Jesus must go through Jericho. And he said, for I must dine with thee today because of Jesus' divine mission. I must dine with you today. Notice verse 10. Because he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Zacchaeus then received him, how? Joyfully. So my question tonight for you is, have you received him joyfully? Have you opened your heart? Has it become his home? Have you invited Christ to come in to your heart and your life? How do we receive him? We receive him by faith. In John 1, verse 12, it says, as many as receive him, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is what? A gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And in John 3:16, I've already quoted it, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So Zacchaeus, I believe, he trusted and believed in Jesus Christ. When it says verse 6, he received him joyfully. You can't spend the evening with Jesus at your house and not come out a changed individual. If you open your heart, invite Christ in, your heart becomes his home, your life will be changed. And that's the third movement, verse 7 and 8. Zacchaeus was transformed. When you open your heart and you believe and trust in Jesus Christ and you're born again by the Spirit of God, the Bible says old things pass away and all things become what? New. So Zacchaeus became a new individual. Look at verse 7 and 8. Now when they saw it, that's referring to the crowd, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest of the man that was a sinner. They probably said it like, sinner. He's gone to eat dinner with a sinner. You know, the Bible says all have sinned and come short. There's Zacchaeus. You ever think about that? Talk about coming short. He came short. Literally. All have fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, no, not one, right? Pray tell me, who could Jesus go to eat with and not be with a sinner? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. Now, some have sinned greater than others, but we're all in that same category. We're all sinners separated from God. That's why we must be born again and forgiven of our sins to have eternal life. Now notice how the crowd was offensive. They were upset. They took offense. The truth is, as I said, Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How Zacchaeus' life was changed, notice it in verse 8. It says, Zacchaeus stood and he said unto the Lord, I love this, behold, Lord, he calls him Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything away from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. Now, when a tax collector gives money back, you know he's been converted. You know this dude's been born again, amen, because his heart has been changed. You know, the Bible says we're not saved by good works or good deeds. It says that we're saved unto good works and good deeds. So good deeds and good works are the fruit of salvation. They're not the cause of salvation, because salvation is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. So truly saved person will experience changes. Saved not by good works, but by the good works or fruit or evidence of his salvation. How marvelous that is. And also, knowing Jesus made his money insignificant. I love that. Knowing Jesus Christ made his money and his wealth insignificant. He understood the value of knowing Christ. He had a new life, he had a new love, and he had a new hope. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. So Zacchaeus found the way, Zacchaeus found the truth, Zacchaeus found the life. He found Jesus Christ, and he said, I'll gladly give back what I've taken from others. Now, the closing section in verse 9 and 10, Jesus now makes a declaration. So Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus. Then Jesus is seeking Zacchaeus. Then Zacchaeus was changed and transformed. His life was changed. And then fourthly, verse 9 and 10, Jesus makes a declaration. Jesus said unto him. So now we have Jesus speaking to Zacchaeus and to the crowd. This day, I love it, there it is. This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now Jesus said, today salvation has come. You know that salvation happens the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That you go from darkness to light instantly. You go from death to life. You go from hell to heaven instantly. You go from a child of the devil to a child of God. You don't progressively become saved. You instantaneously become saved by faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, you can go out of the church tonight a changed and transformed individual. Christianity is not a creed, it's not a code of conduct, it's Christ. And when Christ comes into your heart, he transforms your life and your home. He'll transform your marriage. He'll forgive all of your sins, he'll make you his child, you'll have the hope of heaven, he'll put a new song in your heart, he can heal your marriage, he can bring purpose and meaning into your life. That's what happened to Zacchaeus. He became a child of God. Today is salvation come unto this house. How did it come? By faith in Jesus. Notice he says, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Now, he wasn't saved because he was a Jew, son of Abraham, but he was saved because he had the same kind of faith that Abraham had when Abraham believed God and God imputed to Abraham righteousness. God gave Abraham a promise. Abraham believed that promise, and God declared him to be righteous. So Abraham was saved by faith, and we're saved by faith as well, by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. So as I said, verse 10 is the key. Look at it with me. Son of Man is a messianic title. Jesus is the Messiah. He came to seek. He came to save that which is lost. If you're lost tonight, he came to seek you, and he came to save you. Jesus is telling us why he came. He came to seek. He's the good shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep, and he goes after that one lost sheep, and he brings it back rejoicing. I'm convinced that tonight there's some here that have not trusted Christ, and he brought you here purposely for this encounter. You're not here by accident. Jesus is actually seeking you as opposed to you seeking him. And he's calling you tonight, saying, today is the day of salvation. He came to seek and he came to save. He came to save us from sin's penalty, which is death and damnation. He came to save us from sin's power and give us victory so we could live a life free of sin. And then he came to deliver us from sin's presence altogether. And one day when we die, and one day we will die, and we go to heaven, we'll be free of the very presence of sin altogether. So he saves us from sin's penalty, from sin's power, and sin's presence. How did he do that? By the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you know that God's Christmas tree was the cross? The Bible actually uses that phrase to refer to the cross, the tree. And so he hung on the tree, he gave his life, took your sins. The cross wasn't just God saying, I love you. It wasn't just Jesus giving us an example of sacrifice. It was a substitutionary, voluntary death upon the cross, taking your place and my place. The Bible says, he who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he took your sin, he took my sin. He bore it on the cross. He paid its penalty, which was death. He was buried, and 3 days later, what happened? He rose from the dead. Now, we don't often talk about the cross and the resurrection at Christmas, but you can't have the manger without the cross, and you can't have the cross without the empty tomb. He came from heaven, took on flesh, died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended back into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of God. Amen. And he's coming again in power and great glory. So when you think of Christmas and you think of the manger and you think of the babe, you must realize that he came to actually die. Those little baby hands were made so that nails one day could be driven through them. That precious little head of that baby Jesus was made so that one day a crown of thorns could be shoved over his brow. One day a sword would pierce his side, spear, and out would come the blood and water. He gave his life to die for us so that we could be forgiven of all of our sins. So the very purpose and the primary purpose for Christmas and the incarnation was our redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, God's Christmas tree. Jesus never changes. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that called Zacchaeus down from the tree, and I think it's kind of cool that Jesus invited himself over for dinner. It's scriptural. Give it a try tonight. Is inviting you. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you hear my voice and you open the door of your heart, he said, I will come in. And he said, I'll have supper with you. I love that. So he's inviting himself into your heart. What's for you to do? Well, number one, you must realize that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that no one's righteous, no, not one, that we can't get to heaven by our goodness. It's not by our own righteousness we are saved, but according to his mercy. No one can be religious enough or good enough to go to heaven. We've all sinned. We've fallen short. We must also repent. The Bible says we must change our minds about the way we're living, and we must turn around. That word repent, metanoia, means to change your mind, which results in a change of direction. And then thirdly, we must receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know, God has no grandchildren, only children. So it doesn't matter if your parents are believers or your grandfather was a preacher, it doesn't matter. You must open the door of your heart and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, by grace you are saved through faith. Have you trusted Christ tonight? Jesus said again, I stand at the door and knock, and if you hear my voice and you open that door, I will come in. So I want to give you an opportunity tonight. If you're here and you haven't trusted Christ, what better time to do that than at Christmas? If you're running from Him, He's following after you hard. If you don't think He loves you, He loves you. He died for you. And He brought you here tonight to be given this opportunity to trust Him. If you've never believed in Christ, if you don't know if you're born again, if you don't know that if you died, that you'd go to heaven, then tonight trust Jesus Christ and be sure of your salvation.
If God has spoken to you through this message today and you're not sure that you're a child of God, maybe you don't know for sure that if you died today that you would go to heaven, you've never really trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would like to lead you in a prayer right now, inviting Christ to come into your heart and to be your Savior. So as I pray this prayer, I want you to repeat it out loud, right where you are, after me. Make it from your heart, inviting Christ to come in and be your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I pray that you'll forgive me and come into my heart and make me your child. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. I believe in you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, God heard that prayer, and I believe that God will and does forgive your sins. We'd like to help you get started growing in your walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. God bless you.
If you just prayed with Pastor John to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we are so excited for you. And we'd like to send you a Bible and some resources to get you started in your relationship with the Lord. Simply click on the contact link at the top of the page and tell us something like, I prayed to accept Christ. We'll get your Bible and resources mailed out to you right away. God bless you and welcome to the family of God.